The thing that I want to talk about today is especially for the time period that we're living in, is I want to talk about discernment, the issues of discernment. Me being a regional director for Kenneth Hagin Ministries and making contact with a lot of ministers and a lot of pastors, when we had this downturn in our economy back, I think it was in 2008, somewhere around there, many personal pastor friends of mine lost their church facilities. And yet they went in by faith and built these buildings and these concepts and by faith and was positive that God gave them that command or that voice. And yet, you see them weeping on our shoulders that they lost everything that they had as a church. And of course, people without a facility, they had to scramble and try to locate another facility and everything. And that happened a lot at that time. Well, during that time period, seeking the Lord told me to not only be careful about the steward of my own ministry, but also inform the people not to get into long-term credit or debt, and to be as debt-free or credit-free as possible, because there was going to come a downturn. It had not happened at that time, but I shared a lot with you. If you remember that time, I said, don't get into any credit or any debt. Be satisfied with where you're at for a season, because God can give us the signs of the times if we're connected with Him and listening to His voice. Thank God for my prayer closet, because without my prayer closet, this ministry wouldn't exist today. I mean, we'd be dead in the water, because we ran into a lot of problems. But at one time, when I first started the ministry, I didn't have much discernment. I had a lot of love for people. I had a lot of love for the wrong people and connected up. And so as you grow in ministry, you learn to understand what discernment is really all about. And so I want to discuss the issue of discernment today. And we are living in a time period where you need to understand what discernment means. You know, this church has been well instructed on faith. Amen. The doctrine of faith. But we have to be very careful when we talk about the subject of faith, because faith, the God kind of faith, does not exempt your ability to steward what you do possess through discernment. And yet, a lot of Christians get caught up in this faith fantasy, not realizing that you don't cast discernment to the wind in the process. I want to share something with you. The word discernment means insight or perception. Insight or perception. You know, in Mark chapter 4, it talked about the seed of the sower. And it said there was a bunch of them who received the word of God with great joy. And afterwards, when affliction and persecution came, for the word's sake, immediately they were offended and then stepped away. Well, the word received there means limbano. It means that somebody had cast the word of God on them and they received it with great joy. They liked it. But there was something wrong with how they received it. It was just they happened to be at the right place at the right time and heard a message that they got excited about. But the problem was that message didn't come with discernment. They received it with gladness, but it took no root, which literally means they didn't plant it within themselves and water it. And so there was actually no fruit of that. And as a result, when persecution or affliction came, the enemy convinced them to pitch it aside. But down in verse 20 of Mark 4, it says, there are those who received the word of God with great gladness And it said they produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. Well, the word received there is not the same word received in verse 16 of Mark 4. In verse 16, it's lambano. It was just fell on you. It was thrown on you. But the word for received in verse 20 is paradekamai, which literally means they went to a specific place to hear a specific word, to take that word and put it alongside themselves. Para, alongside, and be conformed to it, dekamai. So that once they parallel themselves to the Word of God and conform to it, then they could produce. Because they planted it within themselves and let it take root and grow in them to bear the fruit. You know, in Mark chapter 7, Jesus made it very clear, especially with people. And today you have to have discernment with people. Jesus said, how you discern people is by what they bear, the fruit that they bear. Amen. And so discernment is very important for our life, even though we have the message of faith. Still, we don't cast our ability to receive wisdom aside just because we have what we call the God kind of faith. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. The God kind of faith specifically specifies understanding in Scripture for a specific area. But it doesn't exempt the wisdom that you find in Proverbs. You know, the book of Proverbs is mean a rule or standard to be like. And so that has never been exempt from our Bible. I don't read in there because my faith is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, not around the promise of Him coming out of the Old Testament or that last 7-year period of tribulation. My faith is not anchored in those places. My faith is anchored in the place that's under the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ during the time period of grace. Amen. And so my faith is specifically spelled out for what belongs to me and what God has made me to be. But it has not exempt my ability to have a discernment in this life. You see, we do everything to establish a discernment for what we are spiritually, but we don't exempt ourselves for what we should be discerning naturally. Am I making sense to you today? You know, today we're living in a time period where, especially around Christmas and holidays, the thieves double increase in their output to take your money, to steal from you. And why is that? Oh, it's because they know there's a bunch of dodos out there. I don't want to be one of them dodos out there. You know, I want to be one of them guys that when the enemy shoots his arrows at me, tries to burn everything down around me, I can quench every fiery dart that comes at me. And the way to do it is through discernment. A lot of times when we face the enemy, we can face him with the discernment of what is practical and what we should align to what God has spelled out in His Word to be practical. Now, a lot of people use the message of faith so they can get something out of God for nothing. You know, that's called stupidity. That means that having a head of faith with nothing to follow it. My faith has substance. It knows the practical side of things. Well, let's get to Romans chapter 1. And let's go to verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood. His invisible attributes being clearly seen, being understood. Oh, I hope you all enjoy this message today. By the things that are made. You know, just because we have the message of faith doesn't mean that we live in a practical world. I've known some people who have shipwrecked in their faith because once they got faith, this practical world disappeared. Feel sorry for people like that. Being understood by the things that are made. Now, the translators put even in there, but literally, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Did you know creation declares God made you? Creation declares that God made creation. Creation exists because God made it. Therefore, He is. Now watch this. Because although they knew God, wrong, because knowing God, they knew God. Knowing God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile. This word futile literally means they canceled out. They knew God, but they canceled Him out in their thoughts. This word thoughts here is dialogos, which literally means their reasoning, their thoughts and directions. They literally disputed their thoughts and directions that clearly could be seen in what God created. And as a result of that, their foolish hearts or spirit were darkened. You know, somebody was telling me the minute Adam and Eve fell, they died instantly spiritually. They did not. It takes a process of time for spiritual identity to be lost. And over a period of time, Adam and Eve, when they spawned anybody from them, over a period of time, they lost the identity of what they were spiritual. Because when they were first created, it said, and man became a living soul. No, actually, man became a life-giving spirit or a speaking spirit. They began once God breathed into them, and they breathed into that life plural. It said that then they begin to speak to God out of their spirit, and their natural mind, their soul, didn't have knowledge in it to disrupt what God said, and therefore they were communicating with Him spiritually. But over a period of time, they lost that concept because God came down and found that man became one with his natural mind. Why? Because Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and entered their natural mind. And the natural mind then had knowledge to speak against what God said. It's been going that way ever since. But man lost spiritual identity. Thank God when you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, you get born again. Your spirit has been circumcised from your outer man, and it's gained identity through your inner man through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the living God living in us. Hallelujah. It was that knife that came down and gave our identity back. That's why it says over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That word new creature means back to the original formation. I can communicate with God now with my spirit. Hallelujah. When you get born again, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. What happens when that happens? According to Romans 8:16, it says, now the Holy Spirit will bear witness with my spirit. He won't bear witness with my head. He won't bear witness with my body. He bears witness with my inner man. Gives me the discernment that I need, the insight, the direction that is qualified to live in this realm as well as my spiritual realm. I'm okay. To the natural man, I'm foolish. But the spiritual guy, I'm set in motion. Hallelujah. But in Ecclesiastes 11:4 it says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. New Living Testament puts it this way, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. The Message Bible says, don't sit there watching the wind. Do your own work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. Amen. Now, what has confused a lot of theologians is that Paul went against the prophet Agatha when he bound his hands and he was going to go to the city. And they said, they're going to take you there and they're going to just, decapitate you, kill you, do whatever they want to do. Don't go there. It's bad business. And Paul says, nevertheless, even if I lose my life, I'm going. Yeah. Now, many theologians says Paul missed it there. You know, he went where he shouldn't have. And sure enough, when he went there, it was bad business. Yeah. But you got to remember what Paul was doing. He was a man of vision. And these scriptures fit what he was intended to do. He had a vision to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that on the horizon, yeah, there could be bad weather. But how do you know that Paul could still keep vision for what he needed to do because he had confidence that he had discernment within him to face those possibilities. Amen. But he did not, if God had told him through the prophet, you will not go. That would have been a different story. But he was giving Paul heads up. Hey, this one is going to be a very difficult one. Just kind of like when he was called by the road to Damascus. What was his name? Ananias went in there and laid hands on him and said, man, you really gave Paul a word of encouragement after his conversion. Boy, Paul, you're going to really suffer for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, oh, thanks a lot. I mean, if he'd have prophesied that to me, I'd have ran for the hills. But see, Paul was a visionary. But he didn't cast discernment aside. Even on his journeys when he had difficulties, he warned people. Even on some of their journeys, like when they got on that ship. I've been on that ship going to the Isle of Patmos, and it was scary. My son knows what that trip was like, don't you, Tim? Tim had real good discernment. He took one look at my face and decided to move. My innards end up where he was sitting. But those waves were 15 foot high. And we were on a little ship. They had a ship there at the Isle of Patmos, huge. And those waves, when that ship went through them, didn't even affect them. But we had to be in a little boat. I told Tony, I says, Tony, why didn't you hire a bigger boat? This one goes with every wave, you know. I said, besides, I didn't even see where you got sick. And then everybody on the boat says, no, he was up above, up checking overside, where you couldn't see him. But when we got to that Isle of Patmos, I began to realize what Paul suffered in that ship. And he says, I discerned this trip is not going to be a good one. Don't do it. And they didn't obey him. So he ended up, what, getting on that ship because he had to. He was a prisoner. And he gets into that storm. And in the midst of it, he said, well, God, I got where you told me not to go. But now what do I do? And God said, this is what I want you to tell the people. And didn't lose a life on that boat. You know the story. So Paul was a visionary. But he didn't envision things without discernment. He was very, very sharp in that area. So, the thing I want to give you to understand is, the word discernment means insight or perception. I do this every day and I wish everybody would do it. Take the book of Proverbs and read it. The book of Proverbs means a rule or standard to be like. The book of Proverbs was never meant to be exempt from our life. The book of Proverbs was meant to be generation to generation. It never changes. It fits into every culture, and every culture can exempt its wisdom. But nevertheless, the wisdom fits every culture. Matter of fact, there are some other religious beliefs, doctrines of demons that try to parallel Proverbs. You know, so we know that there is something of value when we look at wisdom. Tony Cook come to me one time and he says, you know, Jan, he says, how do you run your church? And I says, I run my church, first of all, by wisdom and faith in God. And he says, you're the first pastor that told me that. Most pastors try to run their church by faith alone, exempt from wisdom. You don't sit there in your prayer closet one time and make a decision to step out by faith. When I'm in my prayer closet, I let God speak to my inner man. And if he tells me not to do something, don't. And if he tells me everything is going to be okay, I don't fret about it. Remember when they had that Y2K thing going? I went into Dightman's one day and they had these survival kits. And I looked at that and I looked at the lady who became a member of our church. I said, what is this? And she said, oh, there's survival kits from the Y2K thing. I had people come to my office. They're no longer here or I wouldn't be saying this. I bought some property over there in Arizona. I said, oh, Arizona? It sounds like a place not to buy property. It's full of air and you don't know where it's zona. And they said they checked up full of food and everything. I said, why did you do such a stupid thing? Did you pray about it? Oh, well, I don't have to pray about it. God has already revealed it through the body of Christ. That there, when 2000 switches over, there's going to be a huge crash and everything. And I got, oh, really? I wasn't even plugged into it. God never even gave me any discernment for it. And so I went to my prayer closet and I said, God, hallelujah, maybe there's something I need to warn my people. What is this? Computer crash or whatever it is. You know me and computers. We don't compute. Anyway. And so I was seeking God and God says, son, yes, don't think about it. Anybody else up there with more information? Don't think about it. And so I kept seeking the Lord, making sure that was His voice. You know how you always doubt, you know. And God came down and finally said to me one day, He said, nothing's going to happen until your people that. I think, well, what if I tell my people that and everything happens? Well, I'd be labeled a false prophet. Forget your pride. So I went to y'all and told you nothing's going to happen. That's when I got people meeting me up in my office so they spent all this money. Some of them maxed their credit cards out and things like that. And so comes the ticking down time. Remember the ticking down time? And I'm sitting there and everybody's saying, well, I hope Butler's right. And I'm sitting there, I hope I was right, you know. And what happened? Nothing. See, God will let us know. He'd give us the discernment that is necessary. Now, the thing about discernment, it comes two ways. One comes through the senses. It means to perceive through the mind. And that's what we call natural perception. And this is where wisdom comes in and plays a major role. But spiritual perception for us now comes through the Spirit. We perceive through the Spirit. It's called an inward witness. And that's where we get a check within us or kind of thing and say something on the inside goes a scratching. Well, we're going into more in-depth on the inward witness on Wednesday nights. We're preaching on how to be led by the Spirit and the walk of the Spirit. And I've been bringing out that a walk of the Spirit is finding God's revealed will in His Word and walking it out. That's called a walk of the Spirit. But being led by the Spirit becomes more personable. It can get into your natural life as well and show you, gives you a discernment what is right from what is wrong. And what to do. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit just plays off of what I receive out of Proverbs. Yeah. A lot of it. I don't need God to come down and give me a prophecy, you know. He'll recall something out of Proverbs for me to look at to bring back to my remembrance of what something that I need to recall for discernment. Yeah. Am I making sense to you, y'all? Good. Now, natural discernment also has a negative side to it. It has what we call a discrimination. It also has a hesitation. It also has doubt. It also means to waver. And so when you have God's revealed will in your heart, you need to be fully persuaded as to what He has revealed Himself and what He has said. Then you do not discriminate against that. But sometimes you do have to discriminate through the natural. Are you following me? Some things that you see that you know you need to change. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus himself said, you'll know people by the fruit they bear. Now, what does that mean, by the fruit they bear? You know, He didn't say you'll know people by the root that they're connected to. He says you'll know them by the fruit they bear. Where is fruit found? Have you ever walked up to a tree and said, oh, that's an apple tree. I wonder if it's fruit or in its roots. No, you would see the fruit on the branches. That means the outer man would display what he has been processing on the inside of him. And that's why he said you'll know them by their fruits. That is really, when I first started this ministry, I had no discernment whatsoever with people. You have to have discernment with people. You have to have discernment with your stewardship. You have to have discernment with your thought life. You have to have discernment for everything that's within you. Especially the time period we're living in now. And even if you're in unfavorable circumstances, you know God can give you discernment even in unfavorable circumstances? He can let you know ahead of time what to do and what not to do. Y'all here today? If you're here, wave your hand. Thank God. And so there is a certain amount of an inward witness that will come through what you see in the senses. But you have to be careful how you're applying this discernment. I know I've had people come to me about joining themselves with somebody else, and I tell them, I wouldn't do that. And then I try to give them the discernment that I've had with them through the fruit that they had previously borne, and I try to get them to hook up through that discrimination. Why? Because that ain't going to be the only person they're ever going to meet that they needed discernment with. And so if you learn how to discern things with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can save yourself a lot of heartache. You can save other people a lot of heartache. And you could save yourself a whole lot of mess of trouble by just having the right kind of discernment right up front. Well, if you can't say, oh my, say oh me. And so when you're talking about discernment, I'm going to give you a little bit of a direction on understanding discernment that might help you. If you don't write, get this all written down, that's okay. John Cook already typed this out. And somebody said, I'm still looking for Psalm 139. We're going to get it. Discernment. At what point does sincere concern for another person become a judgment of them? How does judgment differ from discernment? And here's some of the important steps of comparison. Most people are the god of their own world, and it's killing them. Discernment. Discernment asks questions until all important factors are understood. Proverbs 24 and 25. Judgment. Judgment accepts hearsay at face value and forms opinions of motives on a few known factors. Proverbs 14 and 18. Discernment. Discernment studies all important factors in order to discover root causes for the present problem. That's Isaiah 11 and 1 Kings 3. Judgment openly shares conclusions with those not related to the solution of the problem. Proverbs 18:13 and John 7:59. Discernment looks for a comparable problem in personal experience. 2 Corinthians 1 and John 9. Judgment avoids personal self-evaluation by projecting hostility toward the offender of his offenses. Romans chapter 2. You know, spiritual discernment, you get a check. I've shared this on Wednesday evening. Sometimes that check can be because you're the problem rather than somebody else. So you got to be careful how you judge that inward check, especially with people. God's not in the business of going and airing somebody else's dirty laundry. Right. If he's going to deal with their downside, he'll deal with them. But with you, he'll just let you know. It's none of your business. Just don't get involved. I'm going to tell you, the devil is, he's a master at chipping away at your life a little at a time until you ain't got nothing. Was it number three? Judgment. Judgment avoids personal self-evaluation by projecting hostility towards the offender of his offenses. And there's where Psalms 139 gave us the clue of how David found God's heart. After he goes through and talks about God's commitment to him, no matter where he was at on planet Earth, God was always there. Even when he was in a depressed situation, or whether he was making himself in the presence of God, a heavenly thing, God was always there. Even his depressed darkness was light to God. God didn't affect God at all. But he gives us a clue to how he was successful with God. He said, God... He tells us very clearly, he says, when I went to God, I said, God, is there any evil in me? Show me where it is so I can go in the way of salvation. Hallelujah. What a man after God's heart. Man, I'll tell you what. Discernment carefully reviews the steps taken to overcome a similar problem. Judgment has not yet overcome the same personal problem. You want me to say that again? Discernment carefully reviews the steps taken to overcome a similar problem. Judgment has not yet overcame the same personal problem. People fall over the same problem, time and again. Why? They don't apply their discernment. People get up and read Proverbs every day. Woo! Does a lot for you. Discernment accepts the offender as he is and waits for the right opportunity to approach the problem. Romans 15. Judgment fails to differentiate between the sin and the sinner and therefore reflects a rejection of both. John chapter 3. Matter of fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, judge not that you be not judged. Why did he say that? Because most people want to judge something to separate. God wants you to judge something so that you can eventually come together and unite. Number six, discernment gains the confidence of the one in need and then shares the steps taken to overcome a similar problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Judgment tells a person where he has been wrong without providing direction for a solution. Proverbs chapter 12 and 2 Corinthians 10. Boy, I did that to my board one time. I didn't want to face having to let go of somebody in my staff. I was a chicken. And so I just said, here's what you're going to do while I'm gone. I'll go fly to Tulsa. I got to be there. Yeah, right. And so they met with him. And you got to go, and here's all the facts. And my employee goes, why didn't he tell me them? And they all, so they didn't say anything. So when I got back, they handed me the paper I gave them. You deal with it. Oh, but, oh no. And so I had to. Hardest thing in the world. How many of you like confrontation? I hate it. I hate it with a passion, but I had to do it. And at least I gained the respect of the ears of the hearer. People want you to be honest. Even though you don't want them to be honest, still, it helps for them to be honest with you. Amen. And so I learned what that meant. You don't cop out. You handle it yourself. So discernment gains the confidence of the one in need and then shares the steps taken to overcome a similar problem. And the last one I want to share with you is discernment assumes a responsibility for restoration. Galatians chapter 6. Where judgment reminds God of the shortcomings of the offender. Romans chapter 14. So I hope this helped you a little bit. Read the book of Proverbs on a daily, consistent basis so that you know how to properly apply discernment to discern what's right from what's wrong, whether it comes through the natural or whether it comes through the spiritual. Now, the spiritual, it does require a little more development in that area, but if you cry out to God for discernment, then, oh man, I'll tell you. And you know what? Discernment, you know what comes through discernment? John was teaching in Sunday school today. Oh man, I'll tell you. What a blessing. Just sitting and listening to John today and what he was teaching on humility. And I've shared with you in the past, I'm going to close on this. I've shared with you in the past about my visitation with Jesus in the park. And when I saw him walking out over Gig Harbor in the air, your natural mind doesn't know how to take a vision. You know, it really doesn't. Matter of fact, when you even had a vision and something supernaturally, your natural mind never connects to it. Because you always begin to wonder, did I really have it? That's how powerful your natural mind is. And so I saw this guy walking out over the water. I got to thinking, that ain't normal. You know, you just, what am I seeing? I was right out at the point there, a point defiance on that 5-mile drive. And then as the person got closer, I recognized right away who it was. It was Jesus. And he walked through the trees, and I was sitting on the park bench praying. And as he got closer, I bowed my head, and I became really convicted. You know, you get self-condemning, you know, and all that. And he walked up to me and he took his finger and he made me look into his eyes. And powerful thing. And I think in the class, somebody said, was it you, John? And his love is just so personable. Like you're the only one in the universe. And here you know he's the creator of the universe. And he looked disturbed. Looked very upset that I looked down. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's amazing how Jesus can look at you upset and yet emanate such love for you. Yes. Wow. It makes you so soft and pliable to hear what he has to say. And he said, my son, be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And he turned around and walked off. Well, at first I was so overwhelmed that I gathered my senses and I said, is that all he had to say? Yeah. Well, he spoke volumes afterwards. I discovered what he was saying. But anyway, he was dressed. And this, I always questioned this for years. He was dressed not with... He didn't look like the Jesus that appeared on the Isle of Patmos in his kingly robe. But one thing he did have is his eyes. Somebody asked what the color of his eyes was. And I said, well, you couldn't tell the color of his eyes because they looked like diamonds. They looked glistening like flames of fire. Finally dawned on me in the book of Revelations when John saw him, it said his eyes were as flames of fire. And I got to thinking he was so full of light. There's no darkness in him. That's why I couldn't discern what color his eyes were. Because they went right through you. And then I noticed he had on purple. He didn't have a white robe on. He had I can't even remember the color of rose. I think it was like a blood, deep blood red, and blue, a blue bottom, and he had sandals, but I could see the holes in his feet. And then somebody else said that they had a vision of Jesus with gold wrapped around him, and his hair was a normal color, brown, but he was very handsome, you know, in his face, his coat. And when John was teaching in the class, y'all ought to be in Sunday school. And what he covered about Jesus and humility. And I looked around the classroom, and God says, those whom you see here are humble people. And he says the reason they're here and they're humble is because they want to hear the word of God. And I said, oh God, that is what he was saying. He said some one-liners that were so powerful. I'm glad I got the notes. And God spoke to me and he says, there's your answer to why I appeared to you the way I did. He didn't appear to me like John on the Isle of Patmos. And I said, well, what are you saying, Lord? He said, I appeared to you as a servant to a servant. My Lord, he identified with me. He identifies with us. He didn't come to pronounce judgment. He came to identify with us. And he wanted to impart to me wisdom. To be wise as a serpent. That's what staggered my imagination. Why do you want me as smart as the devil? What he was saying is discern how the devil operates in your life against you. And do nobody any harm. That means harmless as a dove. Don't hurt anybody. Boy, I'll tell you, I never will forget that. Can you imagine Jesus visiting you? He created the world, the universe, and has time to visit you. What a wonderful Savior. Sorry, I'm just overwhelmed. Hallelujah. You get a revelation of how much he loves you. I'll tell you what, then you will love your neighbor. Stand up, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for you being in our life and a part of our life. Father, I pray that your people will keep in mind how important discernment is. Father, may they wake up tomorrow morning and may my words come back to them. Read Proverbs. Father, how important it is. You are such a wonderful God. You've given your whole eternity to man. Father, man says, if I was the only one that went to the cross, you would go there for them. But my Bible tells me that if no one would have received you, you'd have still gone to the cross. Because there's no payment in you. Only to give. And I thank you for that, God. Father, give everyone in this building a revelation of your love and your commitment to him like you did David. Father, may they be willing for God to search them like David was. Search them intimately and deal with everything that is not good in their life. Father, we don't want to be reprobate in our mind and thinking like they did in Romans 1. We don't want our foolish heart to be darkened, but to be full of light. Father, you said the lamp of the righteous burned brighter and brighter and brighter. May we all be found in your presence, illumination and glowing for eternity. Oh, Father, how we love you. And having said that, I'm going to close the service. If there be anybody in this building that has never said, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord, has never transferred into the new kingdom, the kingdom that is coming, and we'd be willing to lead you in a sinner's prayer. And if you've been converted and you're part of the kingdom of God and never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we would love to lay hands on you and let the church that began with that baptism to become a part of your life, to search out the divine mysteries with that heavenly language, speaking in other tongues. We would love to do that for them. And Father, if they're struggling with things in their life where they need discernment and wisdom, we can agree with them that the Spirit of wisdom, that's one of the promises of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to give us wisdom to discern. We'd be willing to pray with them. So that having been said, right now, if I called out at the altar what you have need of, step out and come forward, anybody. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You make the message worthwhile. Hallelujah. Anybody? Yes. Hallelujah. Urabashata. Remain standing. We're going to be closing here in just a second. Hallelujah. 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 If you're faced with some very critical decisions, you can come forward and we can agree together that God is going to impart to you the wisdom that is necessary to meet that decision. Decisions are very important in our life, especially right now. How many of you know decisions are important for our life? Very important. Because God wants to preserve each and every one of us in this facility. You are important to God. It amazes me how the weatherman will predict the weather. But it's amazing God's wisdom can prepare you for what's coming. He says you can discern the signs of the time, but you can't discern me. When you can discern what God has to say about something, whoo! You're blessed. Hallelujah. Now there's somebody here. I don't know whether you're up here or not. Sometimes I'll call out something and they're already up here. But the Lord told me, there are people who have been scarred by what other people have said about them in their soul. They've had a hard time breaking away from those words that have scarred their mind. 1 Peter 2:24 says that he has provided healing through his stripes. Well, what he was referring to now was not physical sickness. He was referring to the scarring of the mind. But we've returned to Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our soul. And that promise alone, 1 Peter 2:24, can bring healing to our mind. It has mind. And I hope so yours. So I want you all, before I dismiss you, I want you all praying with me. Because this is a family affair. This is a family affair. We all need to be praying, not looking, but praying right now. Hallelujah. And I'm going to go by and I'm going to lay hands on all of them. And they know what they're here for. And when I lay hands on you, you just get ready to receive. Hallelujah. All I'm doing is transferring what your need is here to you. Hallelujah. Can't do any more than that. Praise God. Amen. Are y'all up here that need to be up here? Don't be coming up here afterwards. Be coming up here right now. God's not the God of leftovers. He's the God of first fruits. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, let's all start praising God. I want the presence here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you so much for the Word of God. And may everybody that was here have been blessed today. And may they have a safe trip home in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah.